All right, well, you can open up your Bibles to Hosea chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 3. All right, let's ask the Lord for help. Father, we come to you again this morning. We thank you for, Lord, just for joy in our hearts, for a song in our hearts, to come to sing, to worship you, to know you, Lord. I'm going to be talking about pressing on to know you, Lord. And I ask you, you would show us what that means. You would teach us, Lord. You said to come unto me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Would you teach us this morning, Lord? Would you help those in the back and with the children? Would you help me right now? Would you help James later on today? Would you help those in Corpus in preaching your word, Lord? Would you meet with us? Lord, please help us. We need you. We're asking, Lord, that you would, Lord, who can cheer the heart like you? Lord, who can stir us up? Who can encourage us? Who can teach us? Lord, exactly what we need. You're the great heart surgeon. Lord, I pray you would go after some people here today. Lord, you'd go after some lost souls here today. Lord, you'd draw them into yourself. You would call the lost, Lord. You would save lost children. Lord, we need you in our meetings, and we ask for your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to us, encourage us, fill us with joy and love. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, I forgot to bring my ESV, so I grew up reading from the NAS, so just be aware of that. But come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. So I want to bring this passage to you all, and I hope it's encouraging, and I hope it's a blessing. And it's been a blessing to me that every morning, it doesn't matter what the night looked like, it doesn't matter what happened throughout the week, outer life, we're going to press on to know the Lord. And Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know me. That's eternal life, to know him. And brethren, we know him. You all know him. We know the Lord. We are the people who know him. And so, focusing mostly on verse 3, let us. And so my outline here, you can see it right in the text. First of all, let us, and then press. Let us press is the second point. And then thirdly, to know him. So first of all, it's us, it's you all, it's the people of God. It's those who have been saved. And admittedly, yes, this is talking about the nation of Israel, but as we've heard from this pulpit, as we believe in Scripture, that it's been given to us, all these passages have been given us to learn from and to glean from, take examples of. And so this is to us. The prophet here is saying, let us, or we as a whole are saying, let us. We're encouraging one another. We're here today to meet together to say, let us, right here at GCC, press on. We're the us. We're the people of God, the saints, the majestic ones, those who have been called, those who have been bought with his precious blood, called a heavenly calling, crucified with Christ, no longer living for ourselves. Let us press on. I was also meditating in Psalms 2 these past couple weeks, and just seeing how applicable it is to nowadays. Like it says in verse 2, like, why are the nations in an uproar and devising a vain thing? I mean, that's the same thing that's happening today. The nations are in uproar, they're devising vain things, but we, the people of God, are pressing on to know him. Let us go on to know him. He's our refuge. We've set our hope on him. We have no reason to be discouraged, no reason to be shaken. He said, my kingdom's not here. It's up in heaven. And we're not fighting as if our kingdom's here. We're fighting for a heavenly kingdom. We're pressing on to know him. So he's given us a heart to know him. Isn't that true, brethren? You all have a heart that knows him. These are spiritual things. If you don't have a heart to know him, if you don't know him, it's because he hasn't given you that heart, that understanding, that ability to see. And so you have a new heart. It says that in Jeremiah. He's given you a new heart. He's cleansed you. He's caused you to know his ways. And so remember, you're the people of God who can wake up this morning and press on to know him more. What husband or wife will not want to know them better? I want to know them better. They're so sweet. They're so kind. I want to know them more. How much more God, our Savior, to know him who's endless. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He's called us to be perfect. And if he's called us to be perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect, we can reckon on that every day we can know him more. We can be more like him. And so this again is a call. Hosea's calling, I'm calling, everyone here is calling each other. Let us keep going on. The nations are raging, things are really bad now, really crazy now. There's things every one of us are facing it's a tough time, but this is still applicable today. Let us keep pressing on to know him. So not only a new heart, but the word is living in us. It says that it's a living, abiding word. The imperishable seed of God is in us. And we're heirs of Christ. We're not destined for wrath, not for hell, but for heaven. We're on a heavenly path. We're pilgrims passing through this world. And there's nothing new under the sun, brethren. There's nothing new. From the earliest days of the earth until now, everyone, they're devising the same things. They're in an uproar over the same things. And yet there's new things for us. There's new things for us. We're knowing him, and there's new things to learn. There's nothing new for the people who don't know him. But for us, it's new every day. His mercies are new every morning. To know him, it's fresh and new and glorious. And he will show us more things if we ask him. Paul, he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we're the Christians who are escaping corruption. We're the Christians who know God. We're the Christians who have the answer for all of man's problem. And we think of the corruption, brethren, how we're escaping it. I mean, just seeing it every day, every death, every heart attack, every virus, every suicide, every foul word, every evil deed, just the corruption that's in the world. And yet we're escaping it. We're the people who know God. We have eternal life and we're escaping it. Our outer self is decaying, is corruption, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. Isn't that glorious? That's not us. We're being renewed. There's no corruption in us. He's caused us to be born again. And this is the hope of the world, the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And so let us press on to know him. The wages of sin is death, but we've been rescued from sin, rescued from death. We can press on to know him. I think about, those firefighters and police officers who are running into the 9/11 buildings. And I read this from a pastor who was saying, he was saying these guys, these women, they ran knowing they were probably going to die, and probably most of them didn't know the Lord, and yet they didn't think twice about running into those buildings. And just how quickly we are to think twice about going after souls, and even though we have the answer. And I just don't want to be discouraged from that. I want to press on. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And so my point there is as we follow the Lord, as we press on to know him, he's going to help us and give us courage and make us fishers of men, to where we don't think twice about running into that burning building or whatever to rescue those souls, rescue men from the fire spiritually. So here's the answer to that. Pressing on to know him. The more we know him, the better fishers of men we will be. And just thinking what a shame it is that people don't know the Lord. And you know, many people have told me, like, oh, I wish I knew your dad, and I wish I knew this person or that person. I wish I knew Spurgeon. But what a joy to know the Lord, and what a shame it is to not know Him. What a horrific thought, brethren, what a horrific thought to wake up on that day and the Lord tell you, I never knew you. May it not be, brethren. So Daniel, he reached the lost too, and he was a good example. Even the king was saved, and he just by his example, and it was by him walking, following the Lord, knowing, pressing on to know Him. And I know two preachers, open air preachers. They were really zealous, and I don't know where they're at to this day. I don't know where exactly they're at back home. And I was just thinking about them and how zealous they were. But if they're not pressing on to know the Lord, it doesn't matter how zealous or anything. And it's from following Him that He makes us fishers of men. And so that's our goal, brethren. That should be always our objective, is following the Lord, and He will help us that way. So that's my first point. What I'm saying is just that we who have been given mercy, who've been saved and restored, let us not get bogged down with everything that's happening, and let us press on to know the Lord. That's my encouragement. And that's what Hosea is saying here. And so secondly, just what it means to press on. So again, through these months that have gone by, I've just been encouraged by it. It doesn't matter where you find yourself or what has happened. You could be thinking, I wish this wasn't happening, or it was more like this, beaten down, discouraged, or maybe encouraged. Maybe you're feeling really good, but even the hymn says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on His name. You could have your dreams, your hopes smashed. You could be super depressed, but this is still the same. Let us press on. Keep pressing on to know Him. For every Christian, we find that He works all things for our good. He loves us. He's not against us. He's given me a new heart. I love Him. He cares. He will never forsake me or leave me. I'm headed. I can't stop here. I'm headed for heaven, the heavenly shore. And maybe you're thinking about, you're getting bogged down with, like, well, I don't have gifts like that person. Well, Peter did too. Remember Peter? He said, what about John? What about him? And the Lord told him the same thing. You follow me, Peter. You follow me. So again, it doesn't matter where we're at, where we find ourselves this morning, or what we've done in the past, or maybe we've fallen, maybe we've not, maybe we've had a really good week. Just remember, brethren, we're pressing on, we're pressing in to follow the Lord, to know Him. This means that it's going to take all of our heart, wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. Every warrior is resolved to conquer. Those are the ones who win. The really good athletes, they stay after practice and they ask questions. They're pressing, they're pushing, they're striving to enter. The kingdom of heaven, it suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You all are the violent people, and you're taking it by force. It sounds strange, but that's the reality. We have to press on, and press in such a way. I mean, even the world knows this, like the businessman, the one who's the most eager, who watches the stock market the most, he's going to do the best. And my dad would say, if there's anything, Evan, if there's anything that's worth doing, you do it right. Even if it was making my bed or whatever it was, I was to do it right, and I was to tuck in the corners. And for a silly thing like that, how much more following Christ and knowing Him? Let's do it with all of our heart, not half-heartedly. Let's keep pressing on to know Him, brethren. This is true in the spiritual realm. The souls are not saved by those who scarcely know if they're going to be saved. If you feel like, I don't even know if I'm going to be saved, it's like, how can you reach other souls? But if you're pressing in, you're keeping a clear conscience, and you're striving, it's like you're going to reach more souls. You're going to save others. You're going to see others saved. If you're following hard after the Lord, the Lord, you can have confidence He's going to make you a fisherman of men to reach others. But if you're just giving half of your heart and maybe you're going door to door and you're just giving half of your heart, well, you can't really have that much confidence. And so it's just an encouragement to press on, keep going on. And what an example in the Lord. What an example. And He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. My uncle told me that not too long ago when I was up there in Missouri. And it was just so encouraging. He told me, Evan, you have to set your face like a flint. It doesn't matter what's happened. You have to go on. You have to press on and keep going on to know the Lord. And so here's this passage in Judges 4. James mentioned it, kind of an unfamiliar passage. Israel, it says, they were pressing heavier and heavier upon Jabin the king until they destroyed him. And that's the same for us in prayer, in seeking to know the Lord. We press on heavier and heavier and heavier until we break in. You're dry in the morning, keep pressing on heavier, heavier, heavier until the Lord breaks, and so to speak, and he shows Himself to you. That's what it takes, brethren. Don't give up on the first prayer, the first 10 minutes, whatever. Keep going on. You're dry in the Word. You keep reading. You keep seeking. You keep asking the Lord to show you great and mighty things from His law. I like how Craig mentioned in the grace group, when he feels the devil pressing harder, he wants to press all the harder back. And you feel it with the tug of war. It's like you feel yourself losing, and it's just like, you yell out and you all, let's press on all the more. Let's pull on all the more. Let's not give Him ground. And that's where we're at, brethren. Lord, I was crying out to the Lord. I feel it of just like kind of just slowing down a little bit, or just kind of being discouraged by what's happened. And you know, Tim and Ruby are leaving, and I just have been blessed by Craig and James and Jeff, the elders here, just like, let's keep going on. Let's not stop. And so I hope you're encouraged by this. But so the third point, knowing Him, who are we after? How do we do this? And you ask, you meet someone, and someone may ask you, like, well, you would tell them, like, yeah, I met this person, and man, they just seem to really know the Lord. And maybe you can think of certain people. They just really knew the Lord. I just felt like a fragrance of Christ about them. And what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to know the Lord? What jumped out to you about that person? And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit. Just their knowledge, sure, their experience of the Lord. They've seen Him. They think such high thoughts of Him. They know Him. And you come away just like, wow, that's a really strong smell, like a fragrance of Christ on that person. And they gave you just more of His compassion, His love. They taught you more about Him. And they just know Him better. They've seen more of Him. And that's what we have to strive after. That's what I'm encouraging you, to find Him in the Word, find Him in prayer, to keep seeking Him. And so Hosea has some incredible words of compassion. You know, the biggest thing that I've found in this book of Hosea is just the Lord's incredible compassion. And that's what I feel like, if out of anything, to strive to know Him is just to know more about the love of Christ, His love for us as sinners. And I mean, here's some of them in chapter 14. I will hear their apostasy, heal their apostasy, and I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. And again, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboam? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. Not my wrath, but my compassions are kindled. And I heard a story last night about a man who his son had left the house. He was rebellious and left the house, and he had to get a job, and so he's working the night shift. And And this father, he got up at 2 a.m. It was really snowy and icy. He got up at 2 a.m. because he knew his son was going to get off at 3. And he scraped his car with the snow and ice off his car. And I just thought that was a wonderful story of compassion, of love, and to his son who was rebelling against him. And if anything, brethren, I just hope that I can get across just some of the Lord's compassion here and kindness to us. I mean, you have the prodigal son. What did the father do when he came back? Immediately runs to him, opens his arms, and hugs him after he repented and returned. And the devil's so quick to think like, oh, you've messed up, you can't return right away. But you can. The father, he's so willing and compassionate. We see it in our text here. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us. Yes, we can feel that, brethren. There's times where he departs. There's times, that was something Lloyd-Jones told a woman. She said, I feel like he's left me. And he's like, well, he does that, you know. And she was so shocked by that. And the Lord does do that. He leaves us for a season that we may run to him. It's like the story Paul Washer gave with the son in the woods. And the son wanders off too far, and the dad gets behind a tree and he can't find him. And he cries out, Dad, where are you? I gotta find you. And that's the same for the child. Like he will wound us, but he's always willing to heal us. He will bandage us. See the confidence there. He will heal us. He will bandage us. He will raise us up on the third day. Psalms 30, Tony mentioned this verse last night. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. He is slow to anger and swift to end it. And just swift to end it. If you come back, if you return, I will not be angry. I'll heal you. I'll be compassionate to you. If you repent of your sin, if you turn from your sin, I'll heal you. I don't want to carry out judgment. He gives rest and safety and peace. A lifetime of the world's pleasures, a lifetime of the best of the world's pleasures, they don't even come in comparison to just one smile of our Father's face. Just one smile. Even if you had the means to party every night, not one of those nights would you feel safe, would you, brethren, without the Lord? Safe. What if you died? What if you died and went to hell? What about your sin? And so the Lord, He gives us safety. He gives us eternal rest for our souls. And this is the communion, the fellowship with God that I'm talking about. He's compassionate, he's loving, he's kind. And I feel like I've stopped asking why so much and more just, Lord, how could you save a sinner like me? How could you be so forgiving? How could you be so kind to me? And how can you be turned over within you, your heart, in compassion for such as one like me? And as he said, a smoldering wick he will not put out or break a bruised reed. And I love the parable, this parable where the trees, you know, looks like it's going to die, and he says, don't cut it down, let me dig around it, put fertilizer around it. And he's just so kind, he's so patient, so long suffering. And How could we ever sin? Sin is so terrible. Like, that's not what we should take away from this. Is like, well, he's so kind and so loving, he'll just wipe sin under the rug. He'll just forgive it. No, it says in Psalms 2 as well that he will break them like a potter breaks clay, will shatter them. He is serious about sin, but he is so loving and kind. His love is immeasurable. But his wrath is measured out. He will measure out his wrath. But right now, his love is immeasurable. He's given us his son to die for us, to save us. Christ died for the ungodly. And I want to just dive deeper into God's love every day, Lord, just show me something more about how loving and kind you are. Teach me more about who you are and what you've done. And I want to be compassionate like you are. I want to be loving like you. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Walking with the Lord, learning of him, he's meek and lowly. The more I walk, the more I just want to be compassionate like he is. And be long-suffering, be hard on myself and easy on others, just really willing, ready to forgive. And the Lord on the cross, he's hanging on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. And so, just a few thoughts on how to know the Lord and what to do. So first of all, striving to keep a clear conscience, a clean conscience. And why is that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. The Spirit reveals more of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So we don't want to grieve him. We don't want to grieve the Spirit because he teaches us. He helps us. He reveals Christ to us, keeping a clean conscience. And I love how the Lord, he doesn't leave us to ourselves. And a story at work, we were sitting around the table, and this guy got brought up from another station, and I just said some kind of unkind things about him, just kind of like, oh, he doesn't know how to do his job, he's kind of an odd guy. And three calls came in the next hour, and I got put on a call with just him and I. Like, it was just such a strangest deal. Like, it shouldn't have happened, but the Lord was clearly saying, like, he was clearly calling me out and rebuking me for saying those things about that guy. And it's amazing how kind the Lord is to us to reveal sin and to keep a clear conscience. I mean, he won't let us go on. He'll put that thing heavy on our minds and our hearts. And if we don't deal with that, we're not gonna stop learning about Christ. We're not gonna be as hungry and as thirsty for him. And so keeping that clear conscience is really critical, brethren. Again, the Spirit, when the Lord left, he gave us the Helper, and he was to help us. The Spirit of truth, he's called, to guide us in all truth. He'll glorify me, Christ said. He'll take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit's really important in growing and knowing him. And so we can ask for more of the Spirit, to know him more, to help us, to teach us, to grow in knowing him, and to keep us sensitive, to keep us clear, to keep our conscience clean. And that's what Paul did. He strived to keep a clear conscience. He says that multiple times in Timothy and Titus, I believe it is. If you find yourself cold, I appreciated what Tim said at Kenny's birthday party. The question was asked, if you find yourself just not where you used to be, what do you do? And Philippians 3:16, he went there. And John 3:16, Philippians 3:16, so you can remember it that way. Paul says that, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have obtained. So we've gotten somewhere, and then we find ourselves cold, and we look back to where we were and what we were doing really good back then, what we were reading, we were praying, we were fasting. Like, we look back to that time and we think what we were doing, and we start over again, and we keep doing what we were doing back then, the same standard to which we have obtained. And Pilgrim's Progress, it talks about that too, where he lost his scroll and he had to go back, retrace his steps and get it again, and then press on. And it was tough, it was hard, it was discouraging, but he did go back, and he learned from it, and he went on. And so that's what it's going to take to follow the Lord, to keep striving to know him, is searching for, making, as Tim says, inventory, thinking about the past days when you're doing really well, and now carrying that out again and striving to do better in those areas. Just living in light of God's word, waiting on him, trusting him, asking Him to show you more, asking Him to reveal more truth. I think it was my dad as well who just he said, "Show me just another commandment to obey today, just one more, just another thing to obey better today." And going to His Word, asking that question: what's one thing that I can obey better today than yesterday? One thing that I can really strive to do. I mean, that's the same in the jobs and in everything. It's like, where am I weak? What can I do better? Like, how can I improve here? Romans 12, learning what's pleasing to Him, getting up early, seeking His favor, asking Him to reveal. Psalms 119, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. Teach me how to serve. I want to serve in Your strength. Lord, You said I'm meek and lowly. Teach me that. Teach me how You took the cross with joy, the joy set before You. You endured the cross, despising the shame. Show me what that means. How do You do that? How do You grumble, or not grumble, not dispute the whole day? Teach me what that means. And striving to know Him. One of the biggest things I never would have guessed was a theology study, a big book about the theology of God, going out with Jeff. When going through that has been one of the greatest things that has helped me. And that's, again, that's knowing the Lord, knowing about this triune God, Christ coming, loving, dying for sinners, creation, prayer, sin, justification, sanctification. Like, that has been such a help, brother, and I really thank you for that. And it's pressing on to know Him, and it not just being head knowledge, but something that He's really, he really reveals to you about Himself. And so that's my hope for you all, like picking up those books, learning about the biographies, learning about these examples that have gone before us. Like, keep going on to know Him and to learn of Him. And that's basically what we did the entire last Bible study on Tuesday with Tim. So we went through like 20 different questions, and we just asked, what would the Lord do in this situation? What would the Lord say? What would He have done? And that's been really helpful. It's just at work or wherever I'm at, like, Lord, show me what You would do in this situation. Show me how You would love this person. Show me how You would respond to this person. Show me how You would, like, despite all the rules at work and all the regulations and all the things that I feel like are stupid at times, it's like, show me how You would respond. You would probably, like, do them all perfectly because it honors Your Father. Like, just learning more about His character, finding Him in the Gospels and seeing how He responded to different situations, responded to the dead religious people, responded to women. He was so kind. He was so compassionate. There was a widow going out of the city and just lost her son. And He was walking by and He felt compassionate and He healed him. Like, what an amazing Savior that we have. And I was talking with Ryan about Psalms 23, and he was just saying how he was struck by the fact that the rod and staff, they comfort me. That doesn't seem very comforting to think of a rod. But that it's because the person who's behind it, again, like, he won't let us go on a certain way. Those whom He loves, He disciplines and He stops and He corrects and He brings them back. That's a comfort. It's a hard thing. It doesn't feel good at the time, but it produces such good things that you look back and it's a comforting thing. I mean, those whom the Lord doesn't love, He doesn't come and correct them. He leaves them to themselves, and that is a comfort. And so, knowing the Lord, knowing why He would do that, it's for His glory. It's for His glory. He heals the brokenhearted. He's compassionate. He's gentle. He's humble. I thought it was amazing in Matthew 11, when He just gets done talking, the Lord just, like, rebukes, heavy rebukes, like, woe is you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, like, woe is you. Like, and then the next passage, come unto Me, I'm meek and lowly, learn of Me. I mean, just right after that heavy passage, he wants them to know, like, you can come unto me. And that's something that we talked about Tuesday night. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, where you feel you're at now, what you've done, sin, fallen, doesn't matter. Like, we can go to him. We can come unto him. We can find rest for our souls, our weary souls. So in verse 3, if you see there, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. So what if this loving Savior could be thwarted or overruled? And we see here that that's impossible. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. Those he came to save will be saved. It's as certain as the dawn, just as certain as the sun came up this morning, it'll come up tomorrow. Those whom he calls, they come. Those who come to him, he will save, and he will not cast them out. He came to seek and to save the lost. No one stopped him. Even what did everyone cry when he's hanging on the cross? Save yourself. Save yourself. The devil was trying to get him to come down. Even dear Peter is standing in front of him. He says, get behind me. I mean, no one stopped him. He kept pressing on and on, and he got the job done. He saved our souls. He made atonement for our sins. He made a way, brethren. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. And this is a promise that we can pray for the rain, for the healing, the spring rain, the watering of the grass, the growing. He will come to us like the rain. He will heal our apostasy and love us freely. I don't even know what that means, but it's amazing. And it's there in Hosea 14. And I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray that, brethren. We have such a loving, kind Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brethren. He's restored us. We can come to him. He's revived us. He's not counted our trespasses against us. His going forth is as sure as the dawn. It does not matter what's happening around us. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, brethren. He will conquer. He will defeat. He's a great conqueror. Our sin is great, but his love is greater. We can take refuge in him. That's the way Psalms 2 ends. We can take refuge in him. How blessed they are who take refuge in him. What else can we do? Peter said, "What else? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. No one else does. No one else does, brethren." So we can say, let the nations rage. They have been for centuries. They've been devising vain things, but let us press on to know the Lord. Let us be about his will, be in his word, be in prayer. Let us believing for more things. Let us remind ourselves that his going forth is as certain as the dawn. Let us continue and press on, and we will not be sorry. He will always be there in the morning. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so wherever you find yourself today, whatever difficulty you have, the only answer, the only way is forward and pressing on to know him. So I hope that's encouraging, brother. Praise the Lord. What a Savior.